This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
Good to see you guys this morning. Good morning. Good to have you here. If you have your Bibles, John chapter 15, if you have your message notes, you're going to follow along there. We'll be looking at some great scripture today, and I hope it's impactful. Our role always is to help us grow closer to Jesus and to do what we just sang, that Christ will be magnified, that he'll be the one we put the spotlight on, and we'll get to know him better and get to know how to follow him more closely. And so that is the focus. And in today's passage, we're going to jump in it fairly quickly. Jesus, just give you context, he is again through John, this part of John, is in the upper room or on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane. There's just a real emphasis on that in John's work. And so in John, these chapters we're in, 15, 16, and so forth, we're just going to be spending time there. I think after John had looked at the other Gospels, he said, there's a lot more I want to say about this, a lot more that Jesus said, and we want everyone to know it so that we can believe in him more. So all the passages work in the last few weeks have been from this same kind of setting. And today in John chapter 15, Jesus says something that should really make us think. He says something today that should really transform the way we relate to him, to relate to one another, how we see life, how we see God. It's going to answer a lot of questions about how to have a relationship with him, whether you've known Jesus for a long time or just getting to know him. He's going to tell us how to relate to him in a passage today that, again, should just stand out to us. And it should change the way we pray, should change the way we think about ourselves and the way we think about God. So I'm just going to jump in, 12 through 17, the words of Jesus as he spoke to his circle around him. And he said this, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit should abide. So that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you." And verse 17, "These things I command you so that you will love one another." Before we go any further, let's stop and pray over the passage. Father God, I think there's some really important things in your word, obviously, for us to learn. But even today, there's something to take us a little bit deeper and to see you in a little bit more clear way. And I pray this will transform our way of relating to you and knowing what you're looking for in us, too. And I just pray you'll speak to us this passage in the name of Jesus. Amen. There's a statement that Jesus makes in there that should really just floor us. It should really make us stop and think. And I think in some ways, if you've been around Christianity a long time, if you've been following Jesus for a long time, you might take this for granted. And I know sometimes we can go a little bit flippant with this, but it's a tremendous idea. And this is what Jesus says to his followers that should make us stop and think. He says about us too. He says this, "I've called you friends." And I want that to soak in for a second. "I've called you friends." I mean, we're used to worshiping God, we're used to revering God, fearing God, serving God, God being a little mysterious to us, trying to figure him out, a little afraid of God sometimes, a little unsure of God sometimes. But this idea that we can be friends with God is just a tremendous thing to understand and how to relate to him as a friend. The God of the universe who created us wants us to be his friends. Now, this is something that's not unheard of in the Old Testament, but it's very rare. It didn't happen often. There's only a couple of people that were ever mentioned as a friend of God. One of them was Abraham, and there's a statement about him in James chapter 2, verse 23. It goes like this, "Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness." In other words, it's not the things he did, it's what he believed about God, and he was called a friend of God. I mean, that's a powerful thing. First time we see in Scripture a friend of God, and this idea that Abram said, "I'll leave everything behind. God, you want me to go, so I'm going to go do what you've asked me to do, and I'm just going to trust you as you go, and you're going to show me where I'm going to go, and you're going to be involved in my life, and I'm going to share things with you." And then God said, "Abraham, as a human being, you're my friend." Let that soak in for a second. Abraham, you're my friend. The immense, eternal God says to a human being, "You're my friend because you trust me, because you have faith in me and you're willing to show it in your life. Moses was very similar. Moses was called a friend of God. In Exodus 33:11, it says this of Moses, "Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend." I wish I could be there in the tabernacle to hear that conversation, right? God, Yahweh, in the temple with all his glory, and Moses sitting across from him, and they're just having a conversation as friends. That means it's like this, right? We're talking back and forth. We're relating as friends, even though you're this immense God who created us, who's leading us from Egypt and out of slavery into a new world. You're my friend, and we talk as friends. I don't know if you relate to God like that. Have you ever thought about relating to God as a friend, and what does that mean? I looked at a survey the other day, talked about what do we look for in friends, and they talked about 8 things that typically if we look for a friend, this is what we're looking for, and if you have friends, this is what you find in your friendship. So here's the 8 things to kind of think about. One, we look to our friends to make us laugh, right? I mean, that's one of the things we do with our friends. It just causes us to laugh sometimes. We share stories. Stories that no one else gets, right? You ever have something like you just mention a word and the people laugh? And sometimes you just look sideways at someone and they just start laughing because they're your friend. It's that unspoken language. So we look for laughter from a friend. A friend believes in us, right? When no one else does sometimes. You just, okay, they believe in me. They know what I'm capable of. They know what kind of person I'm in. They know and understand you like no one else. That is the difference between a friend and acquaintance, right? A friend knows you, knows everything about you, knows your stories. You're not afraid to be yourself in front of them. They hang out with you, however you want to put that. They're just spend time, whether you're doing something or not doing something. You're just there. That's what a friend is. You're comfortable. Sometimes you don't have to talk for a long time. You're just there. You're friends. Friends help you. Like when you have to move, where do you go? You go to your friends and let's throw it in your truck or that kind of thing. But that's when you know a true friend. They help you move. They help you with problems. You can share those with you. That's what you look for in friends. They help you and they trust you, right? They trust you with ideas. They trust you with stories. They trust you with life. They trust you with their car. They trust you with different things. In California, we had a great couple that were friends of ours. And they came to us, and they had 2 boys. We had 2 boys. And they said, well, the wife said, well, I'm going to stop working. I'm going to raise my boys. And if you're looking for childcare, we were. And they said, would you like to have your boys come to us? And they said, sure. Now, that's trusting, right? That's trusting someone. Here's our 2 boys for you to put your thumbprints on. And their thumbprints are still on our boys, not literally, but figuratively, right? Still showing what they poured into our boys. It was a great thing to trust them. Here's our children. We trust you with them. They stick up for you, right? That's what you need in a fight. You need someone to step up for you and be there. And you know they're going to take your side. And then they're always there for you, no matter what. That's what makes a good friend, right? If they're not there, they're not your friend. And then I want you to reverse this and think about God. Has God demonstrated these things with us and for us? You go, I don't know if he ever makes me laugh. I can say I laugh at God sometimes. Just what he puts us through and what he does for us and the amazing stuff that we do. On a follow-up to a story we've talked about here at church where like 3 weeks ago we were going, I don't know if we can even pay the bills for October. We weren't sure what was going to happen. We turned to God. And then this money came in, this other money came in, this person from the side came in and like, well, this is kind of crazy stuff. And it just all showed up after we prayed. And now we still need to keep going, right? But it's like, it's all there. And it makes me laugh. Like, God, you knew this all along. And we were kind of like going, oh no. But then God's going, I've got you. And the way he does it just makes you laugh sometimes, right? On the other side, right? In the middle of it, you don't laugh. On the other side, you just laugh and go, I didn't know that. And then God believes in us. He knows our weaknesses, but he knows what he can do in us and through us. And he believes that you have capacity because he created you to do things. He goes, I can do that through you. And he knows and understands you better than anyone else in the world, right? He knows your heart. He knows your motives. He knows and understands why you do what you do, and he's there for you, and he wants to hang out with you, which is one of the most amazing things to me, that God, why does he want to hang out with us? Doesn't he have anything better to do? And it's like, no, this is why you're here. I want to be with you, and even now he's hanging with us, and he wants to help us. One of the great ways we can find God is by letting us help us. He trusts us with certain things, like the gospel, and life, and children, and responsibility. And he sticks up for us. He fights our battles. And he's always there for us. Isn't that a friend? And as you process who God is, I know he seems distant sometimes, but he also wants to be close and said, I want to be your friend. In this passage, Jesus explains or talks about three ways that he's a friend to us. I want to hit on those really quickly so we can dive into this as he explains to his followers that are sitting in this room. He goes, look, guys, we're changing the game here. You're no longer servants. You're my friend, and I want you to know what that means. So there's three things that he talks about, meaning this is how we're friends with Jesus. Number one thing that he does to show that he's a friend to us is he takes the first step toward us. He takes the first step. Have you ever thought about your earthly friendships? Like, who took the first step? Like, how did you get to be friends? If you're friends with your spouse, how did that happen? Like, you just started spending time together. You're like, this is a person I want my friendship to be part of, right? Somehow you made a choice, and in this, Jesus always chooses first. In verse 16, he says this to him, you didn't choose me, but I chose you. What a powerful thing. You didn't choose me, I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. And that your fruit should abide so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. He says, I choose you. I want you to be my friend. The word friend in this passage is the same word that's used for best man at a wedding, right? So when you have to pick your best man, you think about your life. Who do I want to come stand with me at one of the most important times in my life and also one of the scariest times in my life? Who do I want to be there? Who do I trust the rings with? And this could be a scary thing, right? Because sometimes they pass it around. But who do I trust to be there and be there for me and to hold the rings? That's a choice that we make. Last Sunday afternoon, I did a wedding. It was a beautiful wedding. It's part of our Bridges family, Sam and Kaylia Norwood now. And they got married out by Belews Creek. This is like an Italian villa. It's just an incredible place. Incredible weather. It was a beautiful wedding. It was like a fairy tale come true kind of deal. But one of the funny things was the best man gave a speech. And he got up there with his phone, and he had written some things down. He started talking. He looked at his phone and goes, wait, I just said that. And he would scroll down. He'd talk some more, and he'd look at his phone. Oh, I just said that. And he kept doing that over and over. And it was just from his heart, but he was trying to read it off the phone. It was just a really cool time. But what he said was is that he and Sam became best friends in the eighth grade. He knew exactly when it happened. When one of them was getting in trouble, they moved them, so they sat next to each other, and they kind of looked at each other, and Sam did something with a notebook that only the two of them understood. And it's like a kindred spirit. And now, many years later, they've had their times when they're close and their times where they don't live near each other anymore. The best man, Stephen, is now a Marine down at Camp Lejeune. Sam is here trying to go in the Air. He's in the Air Force. He's waiting for his assignment. But they're still friends after all these years. And they chose each other, right? Jesus initiates it, I chose you. Then we have to choose him. The disciples were kind of on the fringe a little bit. They were following Jesus at a distance, some were a little closer than others. And when it came time to pick, he prayed all night and he says, these are the guys that I want to surround me. And he says the same thing to us today. You're the people I want my friendship core. I choose you. And when I choose you, this is what's going to happen. You're going to start bearing fruit. Our relationship is going to call this fruitfulness, this flourishing to happen in your life. We talked about that last week, because we're friends. And hopefully your earthly friends make your life better, right? It causes you to flourish. You have someone to walk through life with. Jesus says, you're going to flourish. You're going to bear fruit because of our relationship. And not only that, when you go to my Father in my name, because we're friends, he's going to do whatever you ask. That's a powerful statement. Whatever you ask my Father, he will do it for you because we're friends. When I taught school out in California, I taught at a Christian high school. One of my good friends was a band director, and his wife was the assistant to the mayor of Anaheim. Now, Anaheim's no small city, okay? So she was a very powerful person, chief of staff, and she got tickets to the Angel games through him. So one time they said to us, do you want to go with us to go see the Angels game? We said, sure. Used to sitting in regular seats, you know? So we get there with them because their name is on the list and we're their friends. We got to go in. And where everybody else got stopped, we got to go further until we went to the box seat, the suite, right? And in the suite, there's this room where they have food and everything laid out and there's chairs. You can watch it on TV. But in front of that is a section of seats where you can see the game in front of you. It's right there. Now, I did not know the mayor. I didn't have any reason to be in there except I was friends with my friends. And because of them, they got me into this place. You are friends to Jesus. And because of your friendship that he offered to you, that he initiated, you get to go before the Father and say to the Father, it's not me, it's my friend Jesus, my brother Jesus. And he said to ask, so I'm asking in his name. And the Father says, you're a friend of Jesus. You're one of mine, so I'll do it. That is a privilege to be a friend of Jesus. And he started that. He initiated it. And that's one of the best things he does for us. He takes the first step. Number two, the second thing he does for us is he lets us into his life. He lets us into his life. And that's what a friend does, right? An acquaintance, you kind of stand off a little bit. You kind of know some stories. But with Jesus, he says, I'm going to let you into my life. And you're going to know me. But we're not equals. And that's where we have to be careful. We're not equals with Jesus. He's still God. He's still the Son of God. He just says, we're going to treat each other as friends. That's huge. When I was in high school and I was in youth group, we used to have youth group Wednesday night, but also Tuesday morning. We'd get up and have breakfast, and we'd go off to school. And when I was a freshman, I moved into this group, and I had to get to school after this. And so I had to get a ride. And so one of the seniors, I still remember this, Mike Howard, who had a Camaro with a like steel dashboard. I still remember the sitting in this thing. It was like polished steel. And it was a cool car, and it made the cool noises. And so he was a senior. I was a freshman. He goes, I'll take you to school. He let me into the car. He drove me to his parking place as a senior. Seniors get to park where freshmen can't drive, right? And so I got out of his car, and his friends were there. And for a few moments every week, I was part of the cool kids. It was the only time I've ever been part of the cool kids. But he let me into his circle, and he says, come on in. And I got to talk to him, and it was time for the freshmen to leave. I understood that. But for a moment, I was part of that, and he would share his life with me. He would talk about who he was dating and what was going on in school. On that ride to school, he would let me into his music, and I learned a lot of music when we were traveling that 10 minutes to school once a week. But I felt really privileged because a senior let me into his life. The God of the universe says, I want to be your friend, and I want to let you into my life. He says, look, everything I heard from my Father, I shared with you. The whole world wants to know about God. The whole world wants to know, is there a God? And if there's a God, what's he like? Where did he come from? And what's he doing? And what's the end game, right? The whole world wants to know this. And they'll try anything to figure this out, or they'll create things. The deep questions of God, Jesus says, I'm going to tell you about my Father. You've seen me, you've seen the Father. This is how the Father acts. Look at me. You want to know what the Father's like? I'm going to tell you a story. There was a man that walked away from his dad, and he went away, and he got into all kinds of trouble, and he was afraid to come home. And one day he decided to come home, and his Father was waiting for him. Not only was his Father waiting for him, he ran and brought him in. That's what my Father's like. Don't be afraid of my Father. He wants you in his life. My Father was there at the creation. My Father's there at the end. It's going to be okay. If you're my friend, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to come back for you. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen at the end. Don't worry about it. He told him all about the Father. He says, I'm letting you into the secret world that everybody wants to know about. Then it's no longer secret because I'm going to tell you. Isn't that wonderful that Jesus does that for us? If you've been a Christ follower for a long time, you're probably going, I got that. But do you really get it? You know God through Jesus Christ. You have salvation because of Jesus Christ. The doors are open because of your friend, Jesus, who says, I want to let you in. Here it is, all of it in front of you. So Jesus did this for us. He led us into his life. Number three, I love this one. He's all in for us. Isn't that what we're looking for from a friend? Someone all in. This is your best friend time, right? The person you led into every area of your life, like, I'm all in for you. It's about you. I'm all in for it. Jesus said this to him in verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. How did Jesus love them? What did he do for them? First, he left home in heaven and came to earth for them. He became a human being like them. And then when it came time, he says, I want to let you into my life. I'm all in for you. So let's just spend all the time in the world together. Come follow me. Let's hang out. We'll go to the beach together. We'll go to the lake together. We're going to eat together. When you're hungry, I'm going to produce food for you, and we're going to do that. When we go through a storm, I'm going to do it together with you. You're going to do some amazing adventures. I'm all in for you, fully and completely. He didn't just say, okay, you're my friends. I'm going to go do some stuff. I'll come back and get you. He said, at the moment, I'm all in for you, and it's the same thing for us. Look at Hebrews 13:5. The writer says this, don't love money. Don't be focused on money. Be satisfied with what you have. But then he says this, God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. Isn't that the best thing a friend can say to you? I'll be here for you at all times, to the end of the line, or whatever the phrase may be. I'm going to be there for you. You can't go anywhere I won't be. You can't make a mistake that I'll give up on you. I will always be there for you. Things may go south sometimes. I'm still there. You may not feel my presence, but I'm not going anywhere. That is a true friend, isn't it? Jesus said, I'm going to do that for you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm always for you. He's all in for us. That's what kind of friend he is. And then he wants us to know, how do you and I then become his friend? And this is a big one. And I think about this. Why are you and I here? God did not need us. He chose to have us in this world. And here's the big thing. So we could be his friend. He wanted friends. It's a different way of looking at the world. He wanted people to be friends with the God of the universe. So how do you do that? How do you become friends with Jesus? Well, you can take steps. Like the first one, number one is make knowing Jesus your priority. You want to be friends with Jesus? Get to know him like you would any other friend. Make knowing him your priority. Make him the first thing that you want to know and give your life to. And I want to know you, Jesus. You're going to be my friend. That's what friends do. They know each other, know everything about each other. Paul, the Apostle Paul, this was so important to him. He wrote a couple of things in Philippians chapter 3 about this. He wrote in Philippians 3:8, indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. So everything in life doesn't matter except for one thing, that I know Jesus. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. Paul was sold out. I just want to know Jesus. And all the stuff in my past doesn't matter, and all the stuff I could have right now doesn't matter. All that matters to me is I want to know this Jesus who rescued me and he changed my life and gave me a new direction. I want to know him. How do I know him? And he didn't have the Gospels. He didn't have the New Testament as we know it. He had the Old Testament. So how did he know Jesus? By doing life with him, by praying, experiencing God at work in his life, going where God directed him to go. And he would say, okay, I see you at work. That's how I know you. And that was worth everything to him. Verse 10, Philippians 3. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death. I just want to do everything I can with Jesus so I can know him. And that's important to me. Old Testament, Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boasts boast in this. Something to be excited about, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. Want to be proud about something? I know my God. I know Jesus. I know him from the scriptures. And I know it by doing life with him, just praying and seeing him at work. I want to know Jesus. That's the first thing we can do to be friends back to him. I just want to get to know this guy who saved me and rescued me. Number two, the second thing we can do, he did this for us, we can do it for him. Let him into all of your life. Let him to all of your life. Don't hold back anything. Let him know everything you're part of. That's what friends do, right? If they're a good friend, you don't hold back information. You tell them stuff. This is what I'm going through. This is who I am. This is what I'm about to do. Friends, don't hold back. Jesus should be our first response, not our last resort. We should be going to him first. This is who I am. This is what I'm dealing with. In Philippians, again, chapter 4, verse 6, Paul wrote this. He said, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. What do you think everything means? Everything, right? Here's what I'm dealing with, Jesus. I'm going to go to you first with it. You're my friend. I need a friend right now. So what I'm going through, I'm going to pray about every bit of it. Here it is. What should I do? What should I think? What do you think about it? Just like you would a friend. That's what Moses did. He talked to God face to face, just like a friend. David, who could be considered a friend of God, wrote this in Psalm 142, verse 2. I pour out my complaint before him. I tell my trouble before him. Pouring out something till it's empty. Here's every bit of it. All my complaints. Here it is, God. Here it is, Jesus. I just want you to know this is what I'm dealing with. Psalm 62, verse 8. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. He's our safe place. I'm going to pour out everything. Here's what I'm dealing with. This is what I know. This is what I don't know. Going all in for Jesus is simply that. Here, Jesus is my life. Let's do this together as friends. And he says, let's go. Let's do it. Finally, the last one, go all in for him as he's gone all in for you. We all have a list of things that we were looking for in a friend, right? We had the 8 earlier. Here's 3 things that you don't want in a friend. All right, we'll put it in the negative, or we'll change it to the positive. Here's 3 things you don't want to see. No judgment from friends, right? Isn't that what a friend is about? They don't judge you. They don't judge you. They just love you. Okay, you screwed up. Got to be held accountable, but I'm not going to judge you right now. I'm not going to go away from you. I'm going to help you through, but I'm not going to judge you. No lies between friends. You ever had a friend that lied to you? What do you do then? You don't trust them for a while. They're not your friend anymore. They've got to earn the trust back because friends don't lie. As soon as they lie, you've broken off friendship. You lied to me. Why did you do that? I was here for you. I don't judge you. I'm your friend. And so either it gets built back up or you move on because you can't trust them anymore. And that goes along with the last one here, no betrayals. You don't betray a friend, right? You don't turn your back on a friend. You don't break that bond of friendship. If you do, they're not friends anymore. You might repair it. You could repair it if they're willing to kind of come back. But when you do that, you lose a friend. They're kind of the rules of friendship, right? Not that you share that. You don't share them before. You just know it. That's what makes a friend. You don't judge me. You don't lie to me. You don't betray me. We're there. You're always good. Jesus had kind of a list. It's interesting. He says this to them. You are my friends if you do what I command you. If is conditional, right? If you have it on paper, you might want to circle the word if. Jesus is going, you want to know my rules for friendship? My rules are the commandments. That's my rules. And you want to be my friend? You just kind of know I'm going to lay it out for you. This is kind of what I'm looking for in friends. They're people that keep my commandments. Let's start with the one we just shared. Love each other as I loved you. I want my friends to love each other. That's the people I want to be friends with. So within a gathering like this, he goes, I want you to love one another. I want you to love as the way I loved you, because if I have a circle of friends, Jesus is saying, they're going to love one another. I loved you. Here's my friendship. Here's my circle of friends. Love one another as I have loved you. That's what makes us his friend. I want that. That doesn't mean you can't mess up. But your goal is, I'm going to love everybody. I'm going to be there for them. I'm going to show up. Help them through life. When they're in trouble, I'm going to be there for them. I'm going to serve. I'm going to take care of. Because these are my friends. And they're all Jesus' friends. You ever had a circle of friends? I mean, sometimes we only have one or two friends. But if you ever had a circle, you know you're there for one another. That's what makes it powerful. If you don't have a circle of friends, you miss it, don't you? You feel a loss. Jesus is going, I want my friends to love one another. It's what makes you my friend. And then think about the other commandments Jesus gave. Not many. He didn't give many commandments. You remember what he gave them as commandment? Like the number one thing? If you want to remember anything of all the laws, forget all of them if you need to, but do this one thing. Do you remember what it was? We call it the great commandment. Matthew 22:37-39. Jesus said, this is what my friends do. They're all in for me. And how do I know? Because he says, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. I know you're my friends because you are all in for my Father. If you're all in for my Father, if you love him with everything you have, you're all in for me. That's what my friends do. It's who I'm looking for in friendship. They love my Father with everything about them. And not only that, they love other people too. That's what I'm looking for, Jesus says. If you want to be my friend, you got to love. Love my Father. Love my friends. Love the people around you. That's what makes us friends. And that's powerful. This week in our learning center, this was the verse they had. I hate to say had to learn. We encourage them to learn this verse. And it's long, right? It's three verses. Oh, we can't learn that. And it was so fun because we take words off the board. They say it over and over again. And they start repeating it by like Thursday. They're going, I got it. I got it. I get it. God wants me to love. Love him and love you. And it's powerful stuff. If you've been a Christ follower for so long, you're probably going, I get it. I got it. Do we live it? This is how we find friendship with God. One of the most amazing things about this passage is Jesus is looking for friends. He's looking for friends. I want to be friends with you. And this is what I'm looking for. I'm looking for people that are all in for me, that understand why I came to this earth and what I did for you, and you are going to respond, not because you have to, because you want to. And you go, you did this for me? You came for me, you died for me, I'll do that for you. Sure, I'm all in. Gonna let me into your life? Okay, I wanna live there. I wanna know you, Jesus. I wanna know you front and back. I'm gonna give my life to that and do life with you so I can see you in action. That's what he's asking for. Question today is, do you wanna be friends with Jesus? Do you wanna be a deeper friend of Jesus? Maybe for the first time you wanna be friends with Jesus. And he's just saying this, come be my friends, come be my friends. So let's pray. What a privilege to know that Jesus desires friends. Thank you, Jesus, for opening the door for us to be friends with you. You went so far to make this happen. And I pray that we'll think of you as a friend when we're down and when we're hurting, when we're confused, when we're lost a bit, when we're discouraged, we'll turn to you as a friend would. And when things are good, And we're seeing you at work and we're seeing fruitfulness in our life, we'll look at you as a friend. You're doing this through us, Jesus. What a great friend you are. When you take care of us, we'll be reminded that you're not just a brother in Christ. You are our friend. And I pray, Father, for each person here, wherever they are in their relationship with you, may we go a little deeper, a little further as we look at being devoted to Jesus, be a devoted friend to him. And for anyone that's looking for that friendship today and they don't know you, I pray you'll take this step. All you say is come. Come be my friend. And I pray for anyone that needs to make that decision, just pray that simple prayer. I want to be your friend, Jesus. I want you as my Lord. Not as an equal, but as a friend because you offer. So Father God, we give you back our lives as we're friendship, our friendship with you. And we pray this in the name of our friend, Jesus. Amen. Today, as we prepare for communion, just get ready. We're going to be up here praying with you again. There's going to be a group up here that's just going to be ready for you. If you want someone to pray for you, you want to pray for something else, maybe something that's troubling you, you want to pour your heart out to God, you want someone to do it with you, we'll be up here as a friend to you. You don't have to have any criteria. You can share as much as you want to. But all we ask is a desire to see God at work in your life, to help you solve a problem or deal with something, your issue in your life. So during communion, we'll be up front, or even after communion. Also, there's prayer cards. If you don't want to come up, you can just, while we're sitting, just fill out the prayer card, put it in the offering boxes on the way out. Just say, please pray for these things. I need to see my friend Jesus at work. And just write it out, and we'll pray for you during the week. This 50 days of prayer doesn't start and end. It just continues. But we are in the midst of prayer. Pray for people. Today, for our verse for communion, it's one we already read. It's so powerful. Jesus was telling them how to be a friend, but he was telling them how he was a friend to them. Verse 13 of chapter 15. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. What's the extent, what's the maximum love you can show someone? I'm going to die for you. Give my life up for you so that you can live. And Jesus is telling them, and they don't know, but in a few hours, he's going to do that for them. He's going to walk up to the cross and he's going to die. And he says, I did this for my friends. You are my friends. And I'm going to give my life. When you eat and drink today, know that your friend Jesus gave his life, his body and his blood for the friendship with you that you have. Let's pray. Father God, there's an old hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. We grew up with that hymn. We sang it, and it's just so powerful. What a friend we have in Jesus, the perfect friend, the the friend who never goes away, the friend who never lets us down, the friend who's always there, the friend who died for us. What a friend we have in Jesus. So as we take communion today, may we receive it from our friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.